Good?
Bad.
WTF. Well, I'm
thinking.
Welcome to episode 77-0 of The Good, The Bad, and WTF Are They Thinking? And we're Peter, as always.
Yes, hello.
Hello. You wanted to talk about films from this year.
We talk about films.
Already. We're halfway through.
We talk about films every week. I don't know why this has come as such a shock.
I said from this year. You weren't listening. From this year.
I wanted to cut you in, though. Officially. Comedy had to ensue at that point. Did not matter.
That's fine.
I had to make you look ridiculous.
As you have been doing your whole life.
Yes.
So we're halfway through the year. So we'll cut the small talk and get straight to it, because we could be talking about things for a bit, couldn't we, in this episode? So
oh yeah,
let's get to the juices.
Yeah,
let's get to the juices.
Squeeze the juice, the shit out of the juice,
the motherfucking shit out of the juice.
Fuck the piss.
So there's been a lot of big movies that come out this year. Obviously, with everything that happened with COVID last year, the uncertainty of last year, the double uncertainty of the year before, people have probably been sitting on these movies and thought we'll release more. You know. Or they probably haven't been able to finish them, so we're going to get a lot of big movies this year, and we kind of already have.
Financially as well.
The highest grossing movie, yeah. I mean, the highest grossing movie so far is Top Gun Maverick, which I haven't seen.
No.
I don't know if you've seen it.
Tomorrow.
Let's talk about the
movie. So.
You're going to watch it tomorrow?
Hopefully.
Ah, oh, for fuck's
Should
sake.
Should be.
Why don't we do the episode tomorrow?
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Why are we doing it now?
Because it'll be drunk tomorrow. Tom Cruise's first billion-dollar movie, which is surprising. When you think wow. Such a big action star, I never made a $1 billion movie before.
Wow.
I mean, even that we've been in a $1 billion movie before, Tom. I mean, come on.
Yeah, fair play to him. Fair play to him. I didn't actually know that. But yeah, let's talk about our favourite movie that we've seen so far that's came out this year.
Halfway, because we're at the halfway point. That's what you should say.
We're at the halfway point. I said it a few times,
second,
I'll be honest.
I didn't hear it. The second half commences now. So we're doing the first half. What was our, you know, what was the first term? Like, what's the movie? For me, I always think, what was the best movie that you saw? Maybe best surprise, best movie, and what's the most disappointing? For me, I haven't seen enough movies to be disappointed, really. So I'd go best. And I think we're in line here with our best. And I think it's The Batman.
The Batman, yeah. The Batman probably is my favourite movie that I've seen. I've been quite selective of going to the cinema. I need to get back to the cinema. I need to get back in the habit of going. Just because everything goes to streaming now, I don't always jump to the cinema. But that's the best film I've seen in the cinema this year, definitely.
I've been more selective as well in what I want to watch, in terms of I want to find things that speak more to me than just sort of like, what's everyone really liking at the moment? Like, I wanted to go for movies that I was like, yes, this is the one I want to see. And the Batman obviously was a choice for an episode that we did. It was one I was curious about. Did we need another Batman? I wasn't too sure, but it was really good. And I look at the movies I have seen. You know, we've seen Hustle, we've seen The Northman, seen Men, and I just think Batman might be the only one that might at the end of the year crack the top 10 for me, my top 10 of the year, whereas the others might not.
Might change your mind tomorrow. You might say Top Gun could get in there too.
Well, yeah. I haven't seen it yet, so we can't. But we don't know. I mean, we do not know what lies ahead. I mean, we've got an Avatar later on. We've got a lot of stuff coming on Netflix. We've got a Scorsese movie. We've got a lot.
Scorsese, yeah. There is a lot. I think a special mention goes to Jackass as well. That was good. The thing about Jackass is you have to level it up each time, and you think it's been so long since the last movie that there may be a little bit of more tiresome, a little bit more reserved in their stunts, but they didn't hold back. And they had some fresh blood in there as well, who were actually really good additions. I was kind of skeptical when I first saw them. I was like, oh, I don't know if they're going to be what I want from Jackass, but to be fair, they actually fitted in quite nicely in there. Yeah, I liked it. Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe Jackass is going to continue with a new school of people, and they'll eventually phase out the older members slowly.
It's kind of like Marvel, isn't it? It's like new superhero movies, aren't they? But like,
the Jackass brand itself is such a strong brand that you could eventually fade them out in, and then breed these new ones in.
Pass the torch.
And it's, yeah, you could pass the torch. It could work. I don't know if they're going to do that. I think it's definitely a possibility that I wouldn't rule out.
It's like when the original Star Trek met the Star Trek generation, you know, it's just like bleeding over of like, you go now. The only way for that to truly work, though, in my opinion, is they'd have to start doing a series again. Because that's what made...
I'd be all for that.
Same here. That's what made Jackass work. The movies was just like a longer episode, but the fact that we liked them was because of the series, because every week we saw them. So these new people, for them, if you saw them every 2 years, I don't think you'd warm to them so well. You'd have to see them every week, wouldn't you? Or at least, like, go on TikTok or YouTube or what have you and, like, do just a one-off stunt there, like, every week or whatever.
Yeah.
If you did that, I think then you would warm more to them.
There's a possibility, definitely. Yeah. We'll see. But the movie was good, deserves a special mention. Didn't watch it in the cinema. Kind of when I watched it on the smaller screen, I was kind of glad I didn't watch it at the cinema because there was a lot of poo. There was willies, of course. And sometimes you don't want to see that on the big screen.
Poo in willies?
When they're like proper close-up, you know, proper close-up stuff. People being sick and stuff. Maybe sometimes you don't want to see that on the big screen. But I do love Jackass.
I thought you were going to say I do like big poos and willies.
No. I'm trying to think what is going to come out in the coming month. So I think while we're talking about movies of this year, let's have a little look at what's going to come out in July. Now we're at the start of July. It's officially July 1 when we're recording this. It'll be July 4? Yeah, when this comes out.
I like how both of our maths is not that good to realise if we're right or not.
Yeah, do you know what? It's whenever the dates go over the weekend that my head starts to get scrambled. I could do Monday to Thursday and know what day it is, but then as soon as it's like Saturday and Sunday involved, it's like, what? What the hell?
It's like just a massive turbine, isn't it? It's like, what the hell is going on here? It's like spin cycle.
Big head fuck. Well, anyway, one of the big movies probably of next month will be Four. That comes out on the 8th.
For Love and Thunder, God, Love and Thunder, or something like that.
That'll be big. Minions, The Rise of Gru came out today. I'll be intrigued to see how that does.
I like the last Minions.
Top 10. I'm not a big Minions guy, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend to like the Minions.
I was forced to watch the Minions, and I actually... maybe it's like Stockholm Syndrome, but I actually thought, you know what, it's not too bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not something I'd personally watch by myself. I'd find it very weird. But to be forced to watch it, sometimes you need to be forced to watch some stuff. Because like, your brain is just like, no, this is not good. And then if you're forced to watch it, you actually like it a little bit more. But you obviously pretend you don't like it, but you like it a little bit more than you say.
I guess so. It's one of those things that's just on and you can't help it. The Gray Man is coming out as well. I think that's coming. Is that coming straight to Netflix?
Is that a Russo one?
That's the Russo one with Gosling, Evans, Ana de Armas.
Because there's two of them. There's Bullet Train in there, and I keep forgetting which two are which.
That's the one with Gosling as the lead.
Okay.
The Gosling, Evans, they're the two leads in the movie. What else have we got coming? Persuasion to Netflix is coming. Don't Make Me Go to Amazon.
Don't Make Me Go to Amazon.
Nope. Oh, Nope. Nope is coming out this month.
Nope.
Fucking hell, 20 seconds.
Yeah, that's one.
That's a huge one for the month.
That is an anticipated one, definitely.
I didn't know it was coming out this month. Fucking hell, I'm going to watch that. That may be the next one I see in the cinema. Because I've seen all of his movies in the cinema so far. I've seen all of his movies in cinema so far, and I've enjoyed every single one of them. So,
right.
It's only right we go for the next
one. Don't be so intense when you meet Jordan Peele and say that. I've seen all of your movies in cinema.
He's good, man. Hey, you know you're good when you're dragging someone when you feel like, I have to see this in the cinema. I also like that he called his production company Monkey Paw Production, because it reminds me of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So that's another reason. That's a big one. I actually forgot that was coming out. What else we got? DC League of Super Pets. Okay, I thought that was going to be a DC movie. I read that before I even read it. Read it out loud as I was reading it in my head at the same time.
I still think that could be good.
I think that's it. There we go. We're done. We're done with that okay. month. That month's done.
So, so it's between Nope and the Super Pets one.
Yeah, I think so. I think Nope. And don't forget Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank. All right, there's a lot of big names in this movie.
So there's a lot of like dog-themed ones. Okay.
There is indeed. Anyway, let's get into the main event.
Let's do it.
Said it.
So you have such a long pause there. I thought, I honestly thought, like, was he like, I speak first, not you? I literally thought, did I tread on your feet right then?
No, I'll be honest. I thought you were going to come in and sing when I pointed to you because you sang off air, and now we're on air. You're not singing.
No, because you did not know what that song was.
Well,
we'll
never hear that.
A part of me thought like maybe it wasn't in two. So I did not go down that road again.
Well, I watched this movie Sunday, so it feels ages ago when I watched this movie now.
I watched this movie yesterday.
Yours is fresh in the mind.
It was fresh even if I didn't see it, to be fair.
How many times have you seen this movie?
Too many times.
Really?
I've saw it like as a young kid. Obviously, let's put some history into this. I was big on the TV show Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We were reviewing Buffy the Vampire Slayer just in case you can't read our title card that says Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're wondering what we're reviewing? That's what we're reviewing. I was big on the TV show. And I remember they advertised it once when I was like, maybe, I can't remember if I was like just coming to a teenager or just a teenager at that time. I'd say it's between the ages of 10 to 12. And they advertised the movie on Channel 5. This is obviously, cast your minds back to this world. This is before the internet. So I did not know that this existed. Okay, and I was like, what? What's this? A Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie that does not star Sarah Michelle Gellar? I was perplexed. So I can't remember if I recorded it, stayed up late. I can't remember what that part of it. But I watched it, and it always stayed with me because it's an odd little duck.
Yeah.
So
this is a nostalgia thing for you.
It is a nostalgia thing for me, but it's one that I can happily say that every couple of years, a bit like the creature in Jeepers Creepers, I come out and watch it again. I like to revisit it now and then. Like it does. It's one of their movies that I know I'm going to like. It is a guilty pleasure. That I'm aware that it is not a masterpiece. I'm aware that Joss Whedon, who obviously wrote this and then went on to do the series, because he was disappointed with the end product and he wanted it to be a lot more darker, which hence what the series did, which is what he wanted. This is very light. It's very fluffy. It's a fluffy Buffy. But
good, nice.
Thank you very much. There's something so inviting about this movie for me. There's something, I don't know if it's just the overall feel, the overall comedy, the overall lightness of it, the characters in it. It just feels like I'm invited. There's some movies for me that are like this. I can name a couple off the top of my head, like Teen Wolf, for example, is a movie that I will revisit. I don't think it's a great movie, but I'll revisit Good Burger. You know, they're movies that I feel like I feel like they're not great movies, but I like to be in that world again sometimes. And this is another example.
You like movies set in high school, is what you're saying here. But they have like a twist. It's like not normal school. It's like school, but something mad thrown in, exactly. Like zombies.
Wouldn't it
shit.
Be great if like school happened like that? Like, it would make school a
someone
lot more
interesting. Someone just became a wolf.
Yeah.
We have a wolf. Here's our new student. And he turns into a wolf. I'm like, ah, cool. That's quite cool. He'd be bullied, heavily bullied in the UK. Let's just say that much.
So, yeah. But what about a vampire player? I mean, would you get... I suppose you would. I mean, because...
We had a few people in our school who thought they were vampire slayers. You know what I mean? There's always those kids. They were very in touch with the gothic world.
But Buffy is the least touch with the gothic world. She is...
Ah, it's almost like she doesn't deserve it. There'll be people out there who be like, how the hell did she get it? I want to be there. And I see, yeah.
Because she was the chosen one.
She was the chosen one, yeah. Sutherland creepily told us that in the movie. This was a bit goofy, wasn't it? This was a bit of a goofy movie. Did you not think?
It was
a goofy Buffy.
Goofy the Vampire Slayer. Which yeah, I believe was what Josh Whedon was first going to write.
The goofy movie.
And Pete was going to be the Watcher. You're the chosen one, Goof.
They should parody Buffy. Has anyone ever parodied? I feel like Buffy, in its way, is still a very sort of cult-followed TV show. Because you don't hear about it. No one really, like, references it in anything.
I do.
It kind of just ended and then that was it. You do. I know you do. But I mean, like, in general.
I just think it's just something where people have just accepted it's a great show. I don't think people say it's bad. I think what people say is, like, great show, like, first seasons were great, ending kind of dipped. I think that's kind of consensus of fans. And I kind of feel like maybe people were just like, no, that's just Buffy. Like, everyone's sort of like, no, this is the world of Buffy. This is fine. I think it's because I had to because I wanted to really go through Buffy here, and I watched some of the episodes this week, and I've got to say I'm now thinking of going for maybe my fourth cycle of going to binge watch the Buffy series again, because I get lost into that world where I'm like, these are still so fucking good. These are still so fucking good. They don't deserve to be this good. And this movie is just great. And what's interesting about this movie is there's a lot of things that I learned for the first time. I did not know that Carter Burwell scored Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Carter Burwell, who works with the Coen brothers, scored this movie. I think 4 years after this, he did Fargo. Just think of that. That is quite crazy. The cameos you got in this movie, you got Thomas Jane, who I did not know. That's the first time I noticed that was Thomas Jane. I thought, was that Thomas Jane? And it was. He was the guy. He was Pike's boss at the mechanics. You got a Ben Affleck cameo on the basketball court. You've got a... Yeah. I did not notice. I thought he looked like him, but I did not know it was him. Slash was the DJ at the prom, at the dance. And then do you know who the Vamp DJ was? Alexis Arquette, David Arquette's brother. Sister, I should say.
That makes sense.
And also, and he's cut, but this is a very good link to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Seth Green. Seth Green was a cameo in this as a vampire. Apparently, you can only see him for 3 seconds.
I didn't spot him.
I tried my hardest to spot him. My first thought was he was the vampire by the window as Hilary Swank was screaming, and he sort of like did the fourth wall, but it wasn't him.
No, I don't think he would have had that much of an appearance. I think it was like the back of his head or something, wasn't it? Like side of his head.
It was very thingy, but I mean,
he's in a scene. Where is he? His scene where he was actually properly and it got cut, but he's in the background somewhere.
He's somewhere in the ether of this universe. But what I like about this movie, is I obviously like the saying. I like the story. The Vampire Slayer story has always been very interesting, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer origin story. I think Christy Swanson plays this role very well, because she's still, this is like early Buffy. This is Buffy before we saw Buffy in the teenage, in the TV series. So this is early Buffy where she's still trying to understand who she is and trying to get into the idea that she's not this it girl anymore who goes to the mall with her friends and organizes dances. She actually has to go out late at night and kill vampires. So I like that. I like Donald Sutherland in this movie. I was watching him very closely this time because first time, obviously, it's Donald Sutherland. But he has some interesting traits. He has a handkerchief, which is sort of like, it feels like it's a comfort for him because he chews on it. There's one scene where he chews on it. And he constantly puts it to his mouth. But what I really find interesting about him is he's a very interesting watcher because he lets people die. Like, he's watching when Luke Perry and David Arquette get drunk.
Yeah.
And they stagger back and they stagger onto that brick wall. He's in the car. And he watches as Paul Reubens comes up and eats David Arquette before he comes out and helps Luke Perry. Why? Well, I mean, why didn't he not help at the point when the vampire came?
There has to be a reason, doesn't there?
Because he's an arsehole. I think he is an arsehole. Maybe he likes maybe a bit of destruction. Maybe he didn't like David Arquette. Who does? I mean, he's a very hard person to like in this movie.
Yeah, he is, yeah. There's a few people in this movie that are difficult to get on board with. I can see why a lot of them didn't make it to the TV show, if I'm being honest.
Who's that?
Do I have to name names and be harsh?
Yes, be cruel.
Okay, we'll start with the ones that didn't make it. I'm opening the wrong tab. That's what I'm doing. Well, Christy Swanson to begin with.
You didn't like her?
Do you think she was a good Buffy? I thought she was a bit...
She grows on like, you. She does grow on you.
Clueless.
Yeah, but that's...
Clueless, like, that's the movie. The Clueless movie.
Which was I feel like 3 years before Clueless, this movie.
It was, yeah. So, but you know what I mean? Like, that sort of, like, just typical teenager who...
Valley girl.
You know. Yeah. Like, that sort of thing. Whereas the... I just couldn't see that translating into a darker version. It works for this movie, definitely.
Yeah.
But it couldn't translate into a darker version. Or do you disagree?
Our Buffy is Sarah Michelle Gellar. I don't think there's a better Buffy.
Yeah.
But for this movie, she works brilliantly. Because it's a light, silly movie. Like she is, you root for her, you do root for her. I like the villain, I like Rutger Hauer because he kind of feels like a very theatrical villain. He's got a violin, he's got a destiny, and it's all sort of goofy, and it always feels goofy, and then suddenly Buffy at the end finds it goofy. So I just like that this movie kind of, they took, yeah. It's someone, I mean, Josh Whedon's script, obviously what he made Buffy with the TV show was brilliant. It was fantastic. And this movie, if they never made the TV show, this movie would have been lost forever. I don't think anyone would really remember it. But it's like someone takes a story they don't understand and makes fun of it. And that's what they did. Which makes me wonder, like, if you did that to any other, like, source material.
There was an aspect that they decided to drop from the TV show. Something that, one of Buffy's powers, where she experiences cramps whenever she's in proximity to a vampire.
It was a bit like my spidey senses tingling.
Yeah, my menstrual cramps are tingling. Yeah, so they dropped that one. I don't know why.
It was a bit silly.
It was a bit. I suppose it's a bit silly if in a TV show where there's always vampires, isn't it? It's just about, oh, every time. Oh, every episode. Oh.
Yeah, it'd get a bit annoying. Yeah.
It would get a bit annoying. It works in a movie when she doesn't really interact with as many as she will across the series. Trying to think what else. I'm trying to think what else was different from the movie to the TV show in terms of Buffy, her character, apart from obviously her personality, but in terms of like her as a vampire slayer.
Well, she's much more a beginner.
She's a bit ditzy in this one, isn't she? I mean, she thinks El Salvador's in Spain, so that was a bit ditzy of her. Geography and knowledge not on point, unfortunately.
Yeah, and she wants to get rid of the ozone layer as well.
Yeah, she does. That's why it sounds a bit clueless. I mean, it's a bit like Clueless in those scenes. Some of the scenes about the vampires, I felt, was almost a completely different movie at times.
That's what I kind of liked about it. I liked the sort of, it was the cross between the two things.
I guess so. It was okay, though. It was okay. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
What's your favourite scene? Like, some favourite scenes of yours in this movie?
My favourite scene in this movie?
Or scenes, or collection of bits that you liked that you thought were funny.
That I thought were funny?
That anything. Just think of something, damn it.
Well, I think probably the best scene is when they all... Is it the dance that they're at? They all crash the dance, but they can't come in unless they're invited, which is a bit stupid. I always think that's such a stupid element of vampires. Why aren't they allowed in anywhere unless they're invited? Did they put that in the TV show? They didn't, did they?
Yeah, no, that's in the TV show. That's in the TV show as well. Vampire lore. That is actually most vampire myths are that they have to be invited. That's in nearly every vampire movie.
It's silly, though, isn't it? I always think that's one of the... Why is there so many rules for vampires?
There's so many rules for everything. Vampires shouldn't get a free ride.
Vampires seem to have the most rules. Do you not think?
No, I think humans have the most rules. We're not allowed to kill people. Vampires are.
I mean, they're not allowed, but they do it
anyway. I think they're allowed. I don't think there's a law that vampires say not kill more than 5 people a day. I don't think there's that law. I think there's pretty free range there.
I don't know. I feel like there must be some sort of law going on. So that one's silly, but I don't know. I don't think I enjoyed this as much as you. I hate to break your heart, but I don't think I enjoyed this movie as much as you did.
You just got to see it more times.
Mate, that's what it is. You got to watch it so many times that it's all you can fucking think
about.
Good pleasure. And Angel wasn't in this movie either, so I was a bit annoyed about that. He's the best character.
Buffy's the best character.
In the movie?
In everything. Buffy's always the best character.
I guess so.
No, I thought Paul Reubens was pretty good.
Yeah, Pee-wee, he was decent.
He's
like the American vampire. Rowan Atkinson, isn't he?
He is a little bit. I thought there's some really... I like Stephen Root in this movie as the principal. Giving out detention slips to dead vampires.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. But, Yeah, this was okay.
And I like the trainer montage.
Jay, yeah, you like the song of the trainer montage? Are you going to sing it for us? We're actually going to get a rendition of that?
No renditions tonight.
This is the content we need. I need to just start recording straight away. That's what we need to do. Just catch you off guard.
A hidden camera within the camera.
Yeah, I forget that you're in control of your own mic over there.
Yeah, damn it.
That doesn't quite work.
A fly on the wall. Surveillance sleuth.
How did this movie fared? I mean, it did well in the box office, to be fair, actually.
Yeah, but it is. That's the kind of movie people would watch, isn't it? It's she's a teenage girl.
Back then, who, yeah.
And that, even now, something like that. Like, it's
I
high.
Don't know, I think it's a 90s thing.
No, it's a high concept, low results.
I don't know. I think this is a 90s thing. I think this would not do well now.
I think it would.
If this came out now. Really?
It's just the synopsis. Teenage girl, vampire slayer.
It sounds so 90s. Nah. It sounds so 90s. But this was like, this was the breeding ground, wasn't it? The testing ground. It's
yeah.
A bit so. This is the episode. Huh? Are you turning into a vampire? This was the testing ground for Whedon's project. So he did well to make it into a TV show after this, because it didn't fare that well critically.
They did a comic book.
Obviously, it did all right.
That's why.
They did a comic
book? Yeah, they did a comic book, okay. And it got popular, and then the show ensued.
They were like... Okay.
But Josh Whedon hated this. I mean, he walked off set. But, I mean, let's have a little talk about Josh Whedon, because obviously he's the creator, he's the writer. Obviously, quite a controversial figure at the moment. You know, there's a lot of bad stories about him. The way he's apparently treated cast members in the past, for example, Cordelia. But I mean, I'd take away that and just talking about like his writing credits. I mean, you know, he started. Yeah. He wrote episodes on Roseanne and Parenthood. After Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he did Muffy the Vampire Slayer, which does not sound... This is obviously a porno that they did after Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which was based on his original story, Muffy the Vampire Slayer. Muffy and her friends go on a scandalous adventure to a creepy house in the outskirts of town. I'm surprised that your good friend Jim, what's his name?
Jim Wynorski.
It did not direct this. It sounds right up his alley.
That sounded up his alley, to be fair.
And then they did another porno. Fucking hell, they did a lot of Buffy related pornos here. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That's better.
That is better.
I suppose Muffy might be better, actually. Muffy sounds like the British one. And then Layer sounds like an American one.
Oh, no, I got it wrong. That was Muffy the Vampire Lair, and then they did Buffy the Vampire Lair.
Okay.
My mistake. Okay. The
Muffy one's more inventive.
1995, he did Toy Story. He was one of the writers in Toy Story.
Interesting.
Not the porno. Alien Resurrection.
Nice.
Titan A.E. and Atlantis The Lost Empire, which were both flops. Firefly, which obviously got cancelled quite early, and they did a movie called Serenity. I've never got into Firefly. I know that's quite a cult thing. Yeah. Obviously, Buffy's spin-off, Angel, was obviously a big thing there. It's something I've never seen. I've always wanted to see Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which I've heard interesting things about. Dollhouse, which I remember seeing that all the time, but I never saw it, but I remember always seeing that advertised in DVDs and stuff. Obviously, he did Cabin of the Woods. He was one of the writers in that. Avengers Assemble, he directed and wrote that. Much to Do About Nothing. The Justice League, he came in and tried to finish that off. And apparently, and I'm not very happy about this, apparently there is a reboot of Buffy coming at some point.
Oh boy, and who's in for it?
There's no talk at the moment. But they're talking about a new Slayer, which sounds weird to call it a Buffy.
They'd probably just call it, like, they would shorten things, don't they? What would they call it? Like, Slayer. Nah, it's the band. Buffy.
The. Just call it The.
Vampire Slayer. They could just go Buffy, couldn't they?
Yeah, I probably.
Just, it tells you. It kind of just tells you so much, anyway. But yeah, I think we should. I think we should avoid dedicating too much time to Josh Whedon.
I'm not. I'm just. I'm just his, talking about like his writing credentials, because as a writer, forget the person he is. As a writer, I mean, he is a very good writer. He's created a lot, and obviously, Buffy was always his baby. I don't know if that's his. That's the thing that he holds the most to when you look back at his career. It kind of looks that way. And obviously, he didn't like the end results of this. And this is another reason why this movie is good. If this movie was not the movie that he hated and he liked this movie, maybe the TV series never would have happened. So this might have spawned him to say, no, I need to get the real Buffy out there. And that's another reason to like this.
Well, he has a few bits that just never became anything. He set plans for a movie about Spike. I think Spike was a big enough character to maybe get his own little movie.
I don't think that would have worked.
You don't know. I always liked Spike,
to be honest. Good. He's a side character, I think, too much. It'd be like, you know, when they did a spin-off for Joey for Friends. It didn't work, you know. It was just like...
Oh, Spike's not moving to Miami and trying to make it as a fucking
They
actor,
would do really. Something like that. He'd move somewhere. It'd be like the early years of Spike or some shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. The early years of Spike. He was just a horrible child or something. Just bullying everyone. I don't know.
But I had an interesting idea for a fantasy cast here. Now, I imagined, what if the cast of the 1992 Buffy cast did do a TV show, and who would they be? So, hear me out here. I'll see Kirstie Swanson as Buffy.
Okay.
Donald Sutherland as Giles.
Yeah.
Paul Reubens is Spike.
Yeah. Good shy in it already.
Yeah, already.
I don't know, not a Spike.
No, he's the funny vampire. He's like the vampire always gets beat up. He's the perfect Spike, honestly. Rutger Hauer is the Master, who was the first villain in season one.
Okay.
Luke Perry, Xander. He's going to get friend zoned. He's going to get friend zoned. It felt in this movie, like the first time I saw it, I thought, oh, this is a love interest. This time I saw it, I was like, she's going to so friend zone him after all this. Like, he's trying too hard. Okay.
Yeah, I see that. I see Xander. I see that.
Hilary Swank. She's going to go full Willow. Okay. She got her head hurt, and she's going to go into witchery. She's going to become a witch, and she's going to be a Willow. Michelle Abrams. Cordelia.
Okay.
She's the one that played Jennifer. The one that lost her virginity in the car.
Okay.
Now, I know what you're going to say.
What
about Angel?
Good question.
And there's not an Angel.
David Arquette.
No, he died. There's not an Angel in this movie that I had to go and think of. Well, I had to find an Angel from another Kirstie Swanson movie. So I thought, how about Sid from Big Daddy?
Sid from Big Daddy. Hold on. Who is Sid? Oh, him. What did he look like back then? See, now I have to find out what he looked like back then.
I can't believe this is taking so long.
Well, I'm typing with one hand. Hold on.
Who was Kirsten Swanson in Big Daddy?
Oh, God, I'm so slow here. Yeah, of course.
You are slow.
Yeah, of course. Of course, I'm slow.
I thought that was such a funny bit.
Other people may have enjoyed it.
They might have enjoyed it.
Obviously.
He's very...
The wires were...
People were laughing as you were like thinking. It was like a long pause. It was like, like, what's going on?
Who's playing Oz, then? Who's playing Oz?
He's not in the first season. We're not talking... We're season one only.
Are you talking about season one?
Season one only. We have to get past the first pilot first, okay? first pilot, and then we can talk about season two, and then we can bring in all the other wonderful characters that come in. And if anyone's saying, well, Spike wasn't in season one, shut up. This is my pilot, and Spike is in season one of my pilot.
All right, okay, you've already made your own rules. Well, this is the problem, everybody.
This is my fantasy cast.
Whatever you say, man.
So where are you putting it then? Where are you putting this movie?
I'm putting this in the bad category. I know you're going to disagree.
Of course I am.
But I don't care, because I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was just a bit goofy. All right.
And
did enjoy it.
I, for one, enjoyed a goofy movie. And I thought that this movie was good. I still, like I said, it's just guilty pleasure for me. It's one of my guilty pleasures. I love to rewatch it now and then. And you can find it on Disney Plus. It's there. Enjoy it if you've seen it before. Enjoy it. Yep. And if you haven't, look out for it, because it's really awesome.
There you go. And we'll move on to the next bit.
Aye.
The return of top five.
Yeah, and how can we not? I mean, we're talking about Buffy, and like I said, when I talked about the movie, I thought this is a perfect time to talk about the TV show. As you know, for me, I would say this is top five TV shows ever, in my opinion, my personal favorites. Might even be top three. The show I love, and I started to rewatch them, as I said, and I realized just how great they are and how much they hold up. And I realized that I only got to like season four, and I was like, damn, I only got to like the next seasons. But I want to quickly rank the seasons quickly before we go to the top five.
Go on,
in my opinion, at seven is season seven, which is the season I forget about the most. At six is season six, where it starts to willow, no pun intending. It starts to feel like it's lost its way.
Yeah.
At fifth is season five.
Yeah, I think I'm noticing a little bit of a pattern for me.
Well,
there,
showing. Well, I think actually many shows probably go this way. What's it for?
Season four,
which I really like. I do really like. It's a strong one. What's number three though?
Season two.
No, season one.
Season one.
It's the, like the beginning. We're learning about people. Number two, and this is hard. Season two and three are so interchangeable for me, but I think at second is season two and number one is season three. I think season three has just got so much meat on the bones. After season two, what they did with season three I think was very good. And I think season two would have been hard to follow up, but they did it perfectly with season three. So that's how I go with them. I just wanted to quickly go for a ranking list, because we're talking about all things Buffy, and I don't know when we're ever going to bring up a Buffy ranking system again. So there we go. I also like the video game. There was a video game of Buffy. I can't remember what it was called, but I loved that. Yeah, you could play as that little dummy guy. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was it.
I don't know how great it was, but as the time as a kid and all things Buffy was awesome, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, proper Buffy fanboy, aren't you? I do forget how much you like that show.
I had Buffy posters up in my room. You know this.
Yeah, you did. He did all sorts of things to those posters.
Hey, I only just made sure that Matty Holland was turned away as those things were happening. Okay.
I could, yeah. You don't want to catch eye contact with him, do you?
No.
Anyway, the top five. You want to do top five best Buffy the Vampire Slayer episodes?
Yes.
And he said to me, I said to him, I may have to sit this one out, and he said to me, just Google it. And I thought, to Google it, and then I thought, I can't do that to the audience, because I wouldn't be being true to myself. So you do your top five, because I don't want to take away your top five episodes from you, I'm just going to talk about the villains I did some research on my favourite villains, and I'm going to talk about them.
Okay. Number five is Hush.
Yeah.
The reason I think everyone has to put Hush on somewhere on this list, for me, it's quite low. I think the reason Hush was the episode where everyone loses their voice because you've got the silent killers going around harvesting people, so they can't scream, so everyone loses their voice. It's a brilliant, it's probably the Josh Whedon at his best in terms of writing styles and abilities. It's hilarious, and it's scary, but at more, it's hilarious. And I just think in terms of creativity, Hush stands out. And yeah, I think, and Hush was, I did write down every season, so Hush was season 4, episode 10. You going to talk about a villain now, or?
No, we'll do that at the end.
Okay,
we'll do that
at
the end. You go through, so we're not, otherwise we'll be all over the shop.
Number 4, the Zeppo, which is from season 3, episode 13. It's an interesting one because I really like this, and for a lot of people might hate episodes like this, but I think it's so clever. This is the Xander episode. This is the one where Xander meets a guy who's like this really badass, and he becomes friends with him, and they go to the graveyard where he summons up all his dead friends, and they're all like corpses, and they all go doing bad stuff, and they want to initiate Xander into the group, which means that he has to die to become in their group. And of course Xander doesn't want to die, and so he's trying to run away from him, but also they planted a bomb in the school and they're going to blow up the school. While this is happening, in between all of this, the rest of the gang are fighting off the worst demon that they've ever met, but we never see the demon. But everything's going wrong. This is like end of the world apocalypse. But no one sees this. Everything, you know, we see glimpses of it. We see this like three-headed dragon thing that they're fighting, and they've got cursed spells. Some people are badly beaten, you know. They're all doing their little parts to stop this. And at the end, they're all like sitting on the bench talking about what an ordeal they went through. But we're following Xander. What I love about that is we're missing the big part of this big apocalyptic thing because Xander's fucked up. And I love that because that's such a Xander trait. And I also like it because it shows how big Sunnydale is, that while something big's happening, something else could be happening as well.
Mm.
Now, in any other show, like, you think a story like that is annoying, but it's so wonderfully written and executed that that's the reason I love it. Number 3 is Killed by Death, which is season 2, episode 18. This one scared me as a kid, and that's why I put this one in there. This is the one where Buffy gets flu and she goes to the hospital, and all the kids are dying, and there's an invisible monster that only the kids can see, which basically sits on top of the kids and sucks the life out of them. And that is such a scary thought, the fact that you can't see this. And when you finally see this monster, it's so creepy, especially when you see how it tries to suck the life out of these kids, which is so creepy. I still think it's creepy today. It's not as creepy as it was back then because it looks a little bit goofier than it did when I was a kid, but still, that was like fucked up. So that's number 3. Now, number 2.
Was it called Kinderstod or something?
Something like that, yeah.
That was in my villain list. So, yeah, I think that one was quite scary.
I thought it was very scary. It was very scary.
We'll touch on that.
Obviously it
targeted the kids.
Yes.
So that always makes it scarier, doesn't it? I think it was I think one thing they were really good at in Buffy was the inventiveness of the villains and the evilness. And it kind of has like a Stranger Things vibe to it.
A better than
in terms of how much.
I wish Stranger Things was Buffy in that it was more episodic, because Buffy is more episodic in terms of It feels like you could watch Kill by Death, like you could just pick it out and watch it, and then you could pick out and watch one from season three. You can't do that with Stranger Things so much.
Yeah, you don't, there aren't many shows that are like that anymore, are there, really?
And that's disappointing.
Shows sort of like follow on to from each other, and everything ends in sort of a cliffhanger for the next one.
Yeah.
They're very in the moment. I think you're right. You can pick up a random episode and just watch it. I do like that element. But in terms of like the focus on the villains and how much creativity they put in it, similar sort of vibes. But yeah, this one was creepy. It kind of reminds me, if you go back to when we were talking about Batman villains, do you remember the Tally Man? Kind of has the Tally Man vibes too.
Yeah.
Although when the eye's coming out of the head and then latching onto the kid's
skull.
That's
still creepy.
That's fucking creepy. And the teeth as well. The like boar bloody teeth.
I watched that one this week, and my first thought when I was watching that, and I don't know why that was my thought, was I hope the guy who played the monster was like came out and was goofy to the kids at the start. Because like if you're a kid and the kid actor in that scene, that must give you nightmares. So hopefully, like he came out and went, "Ahoy, kids! Like, don't worry about me. I'm just a goofy man playing a role." Like he's got to kind of like be like that a little bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. The things coming out of the eyes are so weird.
That is so weird. Very.
The only problem is that the as creepy, and they always look creepy back then when the budget's a little bit lower. It does look like a guy in a mask. But
they all do though.
But it does have
Buffy
creepiness.
I like that though. It looks so physical. Every Buffy monster looks like a man or a woman just in makeup and a mask.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, you're number three.
Number two. My number two is a cheat.
Sorry.
It's a two-parter. It's Graduation Day, which is the finale to season three, episode 21 and 22. It's just action-packed. I think it's such an action-packed episode. This is where we finally see the mayor's fully formed. The mayor was always a very interesting villain because he kind of was so mysterious because he was so nice, but he wasn't nice. And you could never get a grasp of this person. You obviously thought he's very powerful because he doesn't need to be so intimidating. Yet, he's the most powerful person in Sunnydale because he's the mayor. Mm. Obviously you got the whole mind battle with Faith and Buffy. Everything builds up to this point. And the other thing about this is, and the reason why I hold it quite high, it's kind of the end of the first chapter of Buffy, I always think, because everyone goes their separate way. So Angel leaves to do the spin-off. He leaves Sunnydale. Cordelia leaves the high school, which is Sunnydale High. I can't remember what it's called now. It's completely blanked my mind. Blows up. They've left high school. They've graduated. Now they go on to college, university. This is like the next chapter in their life. So it's quite closing. And season three, like I said, was such a powerful. Not so powerful, but like such a great season that it just ends so perfectly and it wraps up everything, but also leaves like hints of what could follow. That's why for me, it's number two.
Okay, fair enough. And number one.
Number one's a cheat again. It had to be this one, Becoming, which is the season finale of season two, episode 21-22. I had this one on VHS. It's probably the one I watched the most. This is the one where it comes down to the Angel can unleash this demon, unleash the gates of hell by his blood, and Buffy has to stop him. This shows the origins of how Angel became Angel. The battle sequence between Angel and Buffy. And, of course, the most heartbreaking thing where as soon as he opens the portal, Willow breaks his curse and he becomes good Angel again. However, it's too late and Buffy knows that she has to kill him to close the gate. This is, I mean, this is so impactful. This is so powerful. It ends so sad. I mean, Buffy loses everything. She, you know, she gets expelled from school. Her mum finds out that she's a Slayer. She doesn't know how to deal with that, so she kicks her out of the house. At the end of the show, she leaves Sunnydale. She gets on a bus and she leaves. And Angel's dead and everything's broken and we don't know how that's going to be fixed. And it's so powerful. And I try and think of shows like that. I actually thought of Stranger Things, the season before, when it all ended. It ended great. I liked the end of it, but then it left that little cliffhanger of, oh, there's something in a cave somewhere. And it's like, you don't need to do that. Sometimes you just need to leave it so ambiguous that you don't know how it's going to unfold the next season. That's what Buffy did so well, especially the early seasons. But this season in particular, you know, the fact that we do, it doesn't have this cliffhanger of, oh, is Buffy coming back? But it does show a good hint of what could happen. Like when Buffy gets expelled, the principal phones up the mayor and says, I just want you to know what that this has happened there, and then hangs up. And that's like, interesting. So we get this idea of what's going to happen in season three, but so quietly. It's not like built up. It's just like, this has happened. It's like a little Easter egg for us to discover. And I just think it's some of the most powerful TV show making stuff ever. Like, it's really, and for me, like the 90s couple, like TV couple, people say, oh, Ross and Rachel. Ross and Rachel. It's Buffy and Angel. That is the 90s TV couple right there. That is tragic teenage love. Who's one who's like 16 and the other one's like 400. Who knows? But you know what I mean? Tragic teenage love.
It's what Twilight wishes it was.
Twilight wishes it was like this, especially even with the werewolf stuff. It does. I don't want to shit on Twilight. I haven't seen it enough. But Buffy did open this cave for this sort of storytelling to happen. And I don't think anything ever really came close to, not even Angel. I don't think Angel really did it. I think like, had a couple of good episodes, but couldn't really live up to it.
Yeah, I didn't mind Angel. I know you had Angel on VHS as well, I think.
I can't remember. I had a lot of Buffy.
I didn't mind Angel. I remember, it's so long since I watched Buffy, it's hard for me to remember. But one of the villains we have to speak about, which is probably the most iconic villains in the whole series, is the Gentleman.
Which was the Hush episode.
Yeah. But we didn't really talk about them as villains. They are pretty fucking creepy. It's the way they move as well. They just float. It's kind of cool. I like that. But
the massive grins
are very, very horrifying. And another one, which is called Gnarl, which is kind of looks like Gollum, in like if Gollum survived into his like late 40s, had a bit of a drug abuse problem, and hid away from the world. That would be Gollum. Very creepy. It's in season 7, so that's probably why you don't. Maybe you're not remembering it.
I can't remember a lot of seasons. There's a lot of like recurring villains / characters that I did really like. I'm just having a little look right now for Buffy the Vampire Slayer villains.
There's quite a few. There's quite a few that are good. But yeah, the Gentleman and Dirkinstud are my two favourites, probably because of how inventive they are. Dirkinstud is very evil and rotten. That is good. It makes it an interesting one.
So let's look. So we have got some interesting ones here. Like the big baddies. Adam in season 4, who's like a weird hybrid kind of like sort of like genetic scientific experiment. I always remember him.
Mm.
The trio, which were the nerds, weren't they?
Trio. Yeah.
I always remember Jonathan, who's played by Daniel Strong. I always liked him as a little supporting character in the show. I always liked Drusilla and Spike as a couple. When they were together, Spike and Drew, they were great.
Yeah, really? Have you got it all out of your system? Have you got the buffiness out of your system?
But the best villain... It's got to be Angel. Angel's the best villain.
Yeah, probably. But some people don't want to admit that he is a villain as well. Do you remember the Top Trumps? I think I had the Top Trumps.
Yeah, I remember them, yes.
Yeah, I always remember them. The picture of Spike brings back a lot of memories from the thingy one. Anyway, are we wrapped up here with Buffy? Are we all Buffied out?
I just want people to know that if they want to find... the Buffy TV show. It is on Disney Plus or Star. It's probably on Star, but if you got Disney Plus, you might have Star as well. And yeah, just go back to them. You know, I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to binge watch Buffy in these coming weeks because just watching a couple of episodes just made me go, I want to go back to that world. I love the music. I love that weird sort of 90s, like, sort of pop grunge sort of music that... basically, Oz and his band used to play. I like the dress code. The dress code's kind of funny looking back at it, like what they wore.
Mm.
And the fact that they're all like in their 30s and their teenagers.
Yeah. Let's move on to next week. Right, so next week, I mentioned him earlier, Jordan Peele, Candyman, 2021, it's on Amazon Prime. He wrote this one, so he didn't drag me to the cinema on this one like I was saying earlier. So yeah, let's go into that. I've not seen it. Have you seen it?
I haven't, no, I haven't seen it.
Interesting. It came out last year. This one kind of flew under the radar a bit because I didn't really hear much
COVID
about it.
COVID year, wasn't it, really? A lot of things flew under the radar.
Yeah, the COVID year was harsh on a few. Like, there was a few hidden gems, weren't there? But yeah, this is obviously part of the Monkey Paw Productions as well, which have released the likes of Keanu, Get Out, Black Klansman, Us, and upcoming Nope, as well as a few others. So... yeah, and Keelan Peele, the best. I think the best American sketch show of all time, next to the Dave Chappelle Show. And I notice I said American because Americans aren't good at sketch shows, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the ones you've seen, though. I mean,
and Dave Chappelle,
the ones you've seen,
top tier sketch shows. Now, I've seen a few. And
what about Saturday Night Live?
SNL, weak. Come on, the older ones are good, but the new ones are weak.
I haven't seen many. To be
honest. There's some good ones, but like I think in terms of consistency, Key and Peele was brilliant, and Dave Chappelle Show was always great. I rewatched all the Dave.
What
Chappelle
What about shows. The Amanda one, Show?
The Amanda Show.
Yeah,
it's a different audience, and it's when you're a kid. If you rewatch it now, you'd probably be like, "That wasn't funny."
I don't know. I think I still like
just,
it.
That was just irritating. Yeah. So yeah, we'll watch Candyman next week. And we'll see you then.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.